We all know it's AFL Grand Final week, and there's only one man you want to talk to when it comes to that, because he is playing on Saturday night in the Grand Final against the Western Bulldogs. He is also the captain of the Melbourne Football Club and a member of our Inner Sanctum team. Great to catch up again with the big man, Maxie Gawn. Max, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me, half, Whitey. I was going to say it's lucky to have a representative in the big game, but you sort of got every team as a representative, so you're going to get it, weren't you?
We are going to have, regardless of what happens, Max, we're going to have a premiership captain as part of our team.
Yes, we're Gawn and Bontempelli. Not a bad couple of guests this week.
That's not a bad team to be signing up at the start of the season, Max.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the Premiership Cup you're playing for this week. You're playing for the RSN Cup. So you get a drink bottle, a cap.
A vest? Please tell me a vest.
Maybe a vest.
Get him a puffer. We got any left?
Not in the big sizes, because all of us in here, we use the big sizes.
Hey, Max, it's Grand Final week. You're close enough now. It's almost within touching distance. How are you feeling about everything?
Yeah, I've been looking forward to today, to be honest. We get our week started, and it's been sort of a slow week for us. Being able to get out and about and go to the beach and go for a walk and whatnot, and a couple of nice little coffees. But apart from that, it's been a relatively slow week for us, and we've all just really been looking forward to today as our opposition analysis, and we get to go through doggies, and that's when it starts getting pretty exciting. So we lead into a normal Saturday game now.
Have you had to check yourself from excitement in the build-up, because there's been that week delay? Has it been hard to just relax, or has it been okay?
It's been okay, probably because we... as much as Perth is a wild football state, and if I do go out in Perth, you do quickly realise how wild it is, but within the Joondalup resort, it's very... if we want to be away from football, we can be, so... we're not surrounded by walking down Swan Street in Richmond, constantly reminding us that it is Grand Final week, and that's probably been a welcome break for us. But if you do want to go for a walk down Hay Street in Perth, I think you'll quickly remember that it is Grand Final week, and the Perth people are going crazy for football over here. As we saw with the Brownlow last night, as you can see, everyone was sort of going crazy for it in Perth, and it was a great event. So it's the start of a big week for Perth.
So we were actually talking about this yesterday on the program, Max, about you almost being protected from the hype in some ways. I mean, Melbourne fans are going crazy. They're painting fences and garages and houses and doing all sorts of things because it's so exciting for Melbourne fans. Do you think it does help that you're protected from that just being there front and centre for you?
I must say, like it's sort of alluded to in the answer before, that it is still here. You can look for it if you go into town or go out in the public. It definitely is still here, the Melbourne support and the football support in general. But I guess it would be on steroids if it was in Melbourne. It'd be crazy. It'd be another level. And so it's probably... Could be good, could be bad. Some people might lap it up and be able to enjoy it when they're there. Some people just want to be reminded of footy every time going into a grand final. But others like Ed Langdon's and Jaden Hunt's probably... I don't think they've got an idea of who we're playing yet. We're going to tell them it's Western Bulldogs, and then hopefully they'll bring themselves into game day.
did the Brownlow medal make it real going there and... You know, Brownlow medal always happens in the week building up to the grand final, and you're there on the waters or the Pepsi Maxes getting ready for that. You actually have to play this week. Did that feel real, that the big dance is coming?
Yeah, there was a couple of firsts last night. It's the first time I've been on the waters of the Brownlow, and it's definitely one of the first times I've been there when there's a live hope for my own team. Which was really exciting, and it was a great vote count. I'm a guy who doesn't actually mind the vote count of the Brownlow, and we had four or five guys over 30 votes, which is phenomenal, and they were going vote for vote throughout the whole year, Bonds, Wines and Clary and even Walsh. So it was quite exciting, and then we're in our own room. Western Bulldogs are in their own room, but we shared the same toilet, so every now and then you just walk... You just walk past the doggies player on the way to the toilet, which was always slightly awkward, that half, I must admit. But yeah, that was real. So we're real now. We're into it.
Well, it's obviously a huge week. But I'm keen to find out what happens from here. You talk about the opposition analysis you'll be going through and having to educate some teammates on who you're playing. That's hilarious. But is it different to the last couple of weeks? I mean, you had your scratchy on the weekend to prepare yourself for this normal week like you talked about before. How normal is it? Is it the same as it would be back in Melbourne?
So we did a match practice on Saturday. So it's basically a Saturday to Saturday game for us is the way we're going to set it up.
Yep.
And go through a normal week like that. So the opposition report was obviously today. We went quickly, through Doggies, and the last time we played them and a couple of their games just previously, they have changed their football since we beat them in Marvel. They're playing a slightly different style to what they were earlier in the year, and they're in some hot form. The midfield battle is going to be an impressive little battle, and that's the sort of stuff we went through today with Adam Uze and the midfield stuff. So we're well aware what Western Bulldogs bring. We think they've been one of the best teams this year, and we're really excited to play them in the big dance.
Now, Charlie Spargo had a little ankle concern. Someone fell across him or something on Saturday. Is he going to play, Max? Just allay the fears for the Melbourne fans out there.
I got told that was a closed session. So when I saw some vision of it, I was pretty impressed that they were able to get that in a closed session. But no, Charlie Spargo did a little roll of his ankle, I'm pretty sure. But he did a run today, so couldn't have been too bad. I haven't heard any alarming things. I haven't seen Cade Chandler bumping off the walls ready to play yet. So I'm presuming Spargs has got the all okay to train tomorrow.
For Stephen May, it's pretty important, Maxie. Is he going to be okay?
Yes. I haven't talked to him too much about his hamstring this week, just because I like to keep his nerves minimal. But even if it was something, I dare say he'd play. But I'm pretty sure there's not much going on of his hammy. I think he was just a bit soft in that fourth quarter and didn't want to play. So he'll be out there. He really, really, really rates the player he's playing on. He's a big fan of Norden, so I think he's really excited for that battle.
So do you get a look at Optus Stadium to train this week? I know you've played there before plenty of times, but do you get a chance to train at Optus Stadium this week?
Yeah, both teams get Wednesday and Friday, and I think they're one after the other. So I think Doggies are first on Wednesday, then we're in the Arvo. And then Captain's Run, both teams will train there on Friday. I think that even might be a ticketed event where crowds can come. So, we're both got an even amount of time to prepare on the grand stage.
So it's a very hard game to read going into Saturday because you beat them quite comfortably the first time round. They beat you quite comfortably the second time round. So what did you learn? What did Adam Uze tell you that you can be confident enough about that MCG result won't happen this time round?
It does seem to be both based on a lot of the midfield numbers both games. We were able to get on top at Marvel in round 11, and then they were able to get on top in the rain at the G. So I think they kicked something like 6 or 7 stoppage goals, forward sort of 70 stoppage goals on us in the wet. So that's something we'll try and tidy up. And we feel like we have since that. That was sort of a big moment for us throughout the season, was when we did have those goals kicked against us from a back stoppage point of view to really tighten up that area. And we feel like we have. But the way they scored against Port shows a real dynamic way to score off turnover as well. So it's going to be a handful. If we let them play their way, we know that they can cut any team up with their ball use, but they're also so dynamic from stoppage. So their two main ways of scoring are quite dynamic. And then obviously some really good tall forwards in form with Shaki Norden and Big Timmy English. So, there is differences between the way they're playing now and the way we played them in Marvel in round 11. So just school up a tiny bit, even differences between the way they beat us at the G compared to what they did against Port and Brisbane in the last two finals.
And you haven't lost since that night. Was it a night, if you look reflect back on it now, that kind of snapped you back into gear post that game?
There was a couple games in sort of a row there. You might be able to help me out there, but I think Hawthorn draw and a GWS loss as well. So it wasn't a great bit of form. And I remember coming on this show and we were talking about that sort of form dip and just being able to maintain the season and trying to keep our season alive. And Maybe the 11-0 start was too much and whatnot, but it was a little just reminder about you got to keep improving throughout the year, and the team that wins the last day of September is normally the team that's improved all the way till the last day of September. So that's what we've been trying to do, and our last 4 or 5 weeks have been really good, but we've also been starved of football with only sort of one game in a month, so we've been able to try and learn on the go from training and making sure our contest stays up. That's really important that we keep hitting bodies at training. That's why stuff like Charlie Spargo can happen, because that's what we wanted to sort of simulate on Saturday. But yeah, I think it might have been not a wake-up call, because they were top of the ladder. So we knew we were up against a really good side that night. But the way they beat us and the way we lost was certainly something we weren't impressed with.
Yeah, certainly. You were a bit easy to score against that night, which hadn't been the case before or after. I'm just interested in that hit out last Saturday night, because the reality is you haven't played much footy, and from all reports, it was quite an intense session. And I mean, is there still a doubt on what the final 23 will be? And so there is a sort of vying for some late selections, or is it just about creating some intensity because you haven't been playing much footy?
I mean, probably both. I mean, I know from the outside looking in, it looks like our 22 is pretty settled, but match committee still somehow managed to get that to go for 6 hours, so they must talk about something.
You know, one of these matches, I can tell you, it's the last player every bloody week. It's yeah, that last spot that takes 4 hours.
So I'm presuming that's not locked in, especially with Western Bulldogs potentially bringing in 2 or 3 different players, so there'll be a couple of different scenarios there with what goes on. But I've been really thankful for the 45 players we brought over. There would be 15 guys that would know they're not going to play this week, maybe even more. And the way they trained on Saturday to make the 22 go better and get more from it was incredibly selfless. So Aaron Vandenberg put on a clinic in the midfield, and the learnings that Clayton Oliver and Christian Petracca can get from him training his backside off, not knowing if he can get a game, I think that's some of the selfless stuff that we've been able to see. And no one knows if one game in 28 days is going to be a good lead-in. Not many teams have done it. There hasn't been a bye before the grand final ever. And then we obviously had the prelim week off as well. So it is new waters, but we feel like we've got the best man in the business in Burjo to be able to tell us what to do. And he said to go pretty hard at it and pretend it's a game for 40 or 50 minutes, and that's what we did. And true to the guys that were not in the team, they were able to put some pressure on. And now we've got an interesting selection dilemma with Melksham and Jaden Hunt and Joel Smith and these sort of guys all fit, firing, ready to go.
So were there any Stephen Martin sort of role players out there trying to beat you the way that Steph would, or was it just sort of mano-a-mano style?
Majak put me back to reality. I kicked 5 in the prelim, and then Majak gone and kicked 3 of me at training. So I was right back to in 40 minutes. I like to think that I handed him over half, and he might have slipped forward for a couple of them. So it might be Harry Petty that was at fault. But no, Majak. I've talked about him a couple of times on this show. He's a tremendous player in tremendous form, but unlucky with myself and Luke Jackson in some not being getting injured and in some okay form this year. He's struggled to get in, so he's been unbelievable for me and Luke this year to be able to ruck off a training.
Max Gawn, the skipper of the D's, we caught up with him yesterday. We'll continue the conversation. I asked him what he's looking forward to most on the big day.
I love the stories within stories, and the fact that I get to ruck against Steph Martin, who was a really, really good friend of mine when we were both at Melbourne. He obviously went to Brisbane and we stayed in touch, and now we still regularly talk and catch up for coffees whenever we can. And now the fact that we're going to play off in a grand final against each other in both our first grand finals, it really is quite exciting. I sent him a text this week. All that I said was hi. And then he replied saying, who would have thought this would have happened? And then we've just gone on and talked a little bit more, but he's a tremendous competitor and one of the strongest players I've ever played against, and we both know each other's game pretty well, so it's going to be a battle within a battle. And then obviously we both have two young, fit, athletic backup ruckmen in Luke and Tim that Makes it a, I mean, I know everyone won't be looking at the ruck battle because it can be quite dull, but the four of us definitely think it's a battle within a battle.
No, there's no doubt it's a battle within a battle. It's a, one of the key battles, I think, on Saturday night for ascendancy in the contest, I reckon. Anyway, just my take on it. What about Goody? We hear a lot from Luke Beveridge, and the Bulldogs talks about Luke Beveridge, and he's got a story or a gag pre-game every week just to set the scene or set a theme. But what's Goody got in store for us this week? Is he a storyteller? Has he got a theme for in the pre-match, or does he just go through the science of it, the X's and O's?
I've already asked him what he's got in mind for three-quarter time. He sort of laughed it off like it's not that big of a deal, but he'll be planning that all already, his three-quarter time speech. He's quite a deep thinker and really enjoys the captain's run meeting. So that's the day before the game. That's the meeting that really sets up the theme of the game. And let's say that's on a 2 p.m. that meeting. He would not talk to anybody for about 5 hours leading into that. He gets quite nervous and worked up about that meeting, and he tries to deliver it to a absolute tee. And to be fair, the last few he's nailed. He hasn't left much in the bank for a grand final, so I'm wondering what's coming. But he's been super this year. He's been so level-headed. He doesn't look stressed or nervous at any time. You're able to ask him questions on the fly when you're on the bench just before the game, and he's able to get a smooth, calm answer. So I'm looking forward to what he's got. It's a big day for him as well.
No doubt. Big day for the club, full stop. And just on Nathan Jones, we spoke to you last week and he retired the next day officially after coming home. Have you spent much time speaking to him? You're still speaking to Steph Martin a fair bit. Any time for Jonesy during the week?
Yeah, that's, you pay me the big bucks to be able to bring exclusives, and I left it out, didn't I?
That was nasty stuff from you.
he went home and made the berth by a couple of hours, so it was tremendous timing, and I think all the sadness that was around when he left just got met with pure happiness by him and the whole team when he was able to get to the berth of his twins by a couple of hours and deliver them safely, and now they're at home. And he's got a smile on his face, even though I'm sure that smile might become some tears at some point on grand final day. He's got a smile on his face at the moment, and that's what matters. I'll try and include him as much as I can this week because I know how much he'll be wanting to be with us and out there. But the way quarantine walls work, he just can't come back, unfortunately. So it is a sad story, but it's a happy story at the same time. He's been able to get to the berth of his twins, and hopefully a couple of maybe one AFL, one AFLW player, because it's a boy and a girl twins.
So, Max, the last one I've got for you is, does it feel real yet? Has it hit you that you are going to lead out a team on grand final day?
I do have to sort of think about that twice, Whitey, but it's probably because, one, I don't think, as much as I know I'm the captain, I feel like we're all leading within our team, within our own right, which is probably making my job a lot easier, the way Christian Petracca, Stephen May, Jake Lever are all holding themselves. It feels like we're going as a team of 23 out there. It doesn't necessarily, I don't picture myself leading out this team, if that makes sense. But the whole grand final, just the amount of work and effort we've put to get here, and then we got to perform as well. There's just another thing on top. So not only do we get there, then as soon as the siren goes, we're not going to give it to doggies, and doggies aren't going to give it to us. So it's a genuine battle, and you have to perform. And I think the thing that gets lost within it is the performance bit. It's going to be a tough game, and we're all expected to perform. And unfortunately, the position I'm in as a captain and a leader, I'm expected to perform to probably a higher level. So it is really exciting. I really love the challenge, and I'm excited. I can't wait for that coin toss with Bont. Then I can't wait to go back to my group and give a last little speech out just before we go out. Then I can't wait for the first centre bounce with Steph against a good friend that we've been on this journey together. So it really is an exciting sort of 5 minutes, that start of the game.
Well, the expectation is you've got to play better than you did in the prelim, because five goals isn't enough. We need more than that. So it's going to be at least 7 or 8.
I am happy with 0000 on my name in the column, just as long as there's a medal around my neck.
Well, I'm glad you left me there. That's where I was going to end up with you. Should there be a medal for everyone, Max, that's played a game on the entire list? What's your take on that?
I'm a bit on the fence on all this stuff. I understand a lot of other sports do it, and I'd love to see Nathan Jones with a medal around his neck either way. I think there could be a happy medium there. I feel like the 22 that played definitely deserves something quite unique. But then the guys who got with us there, obviously Sam Wiedemann played a crucial role in the middle of the year when Ben Brown was out of the team, and Nathan Jones, Jake Malksham, Jaden Hunt played 20 games. And if he doesn't make the team, yeah. So there's all sorts of stories, and I get why the NBA do it, but I also find the uniqueness around the 22 as well. So I'm a bit on the fence. Sorry for that.
That's okay. Now, for what it's worth, 23 on the day. Just the people are out there. They're the ones who get the medals. If a club want to acknowledge it with something else, that's fine. Get everyone involved. Good luck to them. That'd be a nice thing to do. Hey, last one. I've just remembered. Jess, are we all good? Is there any chance of popping this week?
She did say something this week that sort of caught my... caught my attention, but I forget what the actual terminology was. But I think she's okay. I think the baby is still quite high up in the stomach. So is it in the stomach? Is that where the baby is chilled?
In the womb, yeah, the womb.
In the womb. Mm. So I think we're safe. I think we're going to get this game over and done with, and then and then I'll be able to fly back to Perth, and whatever memories I make on Saturday, I think will be crushed in about 2 weeks with a better memory.
Well, hopefully they're all really good memories, really outstanding memories, a premiership hopefully for you and a baby in a couple of weeks' time as well. Maxi, we love you. We're thinking of you. We're wishing you the best, mate. Go get them on the weekend. I can't wait to see you in action in the grand final.
Thanks, team. Good work.
Big Max Gorn, good work to you. We caught up with him yesterday in Perth, getting ready for the big one. Always a good chat. And up for a chat next week as well.